And today on The Long View, our Neil Milner is back to do a deeper dive on the costs of college. We've been exploring this issue of education. Earlier, on an earlier show, we touched on the I Promise School started by athlete LeBron James.
Yes, and this is what LeBron James did with the I Promise thing. The promise is a kind of important code word now. Included in his educational thing, included in that new school, is a guarantee that under almost any circumstance, the student who finishes that school is guaranteed some money to go to college, a chunk of money to go to college at the University of Akron. And promise scholarships have become a sort of a tempted trend to see if that increases the likelihood that low-income kids especially will go to college.
So is that the new buzzword?
So that's the new buzzword. And so I took a look at one of these that's been studied, and it's a program called the Degree Program. It's a promise scholarship in the Milwaukee Public Schools. It started in 2011. They randomly selected 18 schools. They said, look, if you go to college, if you graduate on time, if you have a high attendance rate in high school, if you fill out a financial aid form, and if you keep a 2.5 average, we'll give you $12,000, which pretty much pays your way through a community college for 2 years and is a chunk of change if you want to go 4 years. So it's a classic kind of thing of we'll promise you if you do those things that you'll get a chunk of money to go to college. So the result of it is kind of interesting and not very optimistic. It turns out that these students, compared to the control group, let's say, or that weren't selected, these students got more motivated in the sense that they talked about college more. Remember, you're talking about, say, students from 15 to 18. Talked about college more, applied maybe to more colleges, but they were no more likely to start college on time. Their performances weren't any better. And most important, their high school performances didn't really prove. I mean, part of this is the idea is that you're giving them an incentive to do better in high school. It turns out that the changes weren't negative, but they really weren't very much, if at all, in the direction of what you wanted. And the important thing about the study, which was done by the Brookings Association, is something that's very important, and it comes down to this. Money to students is not enough. And what you need to know is something about the school system. They said, look, you're talking about students. A lot of these students were marginal to come in. They're 15 years old. They hadn't done well in school. A lot of them didn't have good family support. And although they don't say it, the school system is pretty crummy, which it is. I know something about that school system. And they said what the school system lacked was all kinds of things that could reinforce what the money was doing. Bad communications about the project. More importantly, the lack of a kind of college culture, which us middle-class people take for granted, right? That there wasn't a lot of buzz about college and so on. So what essentially you were trying to do is to overcome all of those obstacles with a chunk of money. And that simply isn't enough. No, yeah. And one of the recommendations they make is, you know what? If you have a pot of money, you can't just give it for scholarships. You got to use that money to leverage in the schools things like more college counselors and all those other things. So that's an important lesson to learn, and it shouldn't surprise people about any kind of reform, that their education reform. It takes more than that. And I think LeBron James's approach is different in the sense that he's building a school, he has along with it. And if you look at what that school is trying to do, whether it's implicit or explicit in regard to the study, they're building in the kind of stuff that would make these kinds of things more likely to be successful.
And then what about the snapshot here?
Well, the snapshot here is we have a limited program here. We call it the Hawaii Promise thing, and it applies to community colleges. And it essentially says if you're enrolled in community college, it doesn't have these prior, all these prior stuff, enroll in community college. Apply for any place that you can get money. What you don't get will pay for. That is that the state is trying to guarantee free community college education by doing it that way. So you get your loans from federal and all that other stuff will fill in. This is potentially quite important because people drop out of community colleges for money reasons. That's the primary reason. And then they never come back. so they don't get the benefits. This is an attempt to make it more secure so that at least the cost of community college itself isn't going to be the factor. I haven't seen any studies yet of whether that makes a difference, but the state is pretty excited about it. The University of Hawaii is pretty excited about it, and I think at one stage they've at least talked about expanding it to the four-year colleges.
I know in the community that I grew up, we had a system where the government would help you with some money for college and then say, but then you have to come back and you have to work for a couple of years, which is great because then you're guaranteed a job, you know, good experience, and you get that incentive.
Sure, there are all kinds of incentives like that, especially in professional programs where you get your education paid for part of medical school if you agree to practice in a community that really needs it. Or if you go to work for the public health service, there's those kinds of things. There's all kinds of financial incentives. You know, and those are nice ideas, but they're not taking on this earlier problem of getting people who haven't thought much about college at all and really have a lot of educational deficits in terms of how well they're doing in school. So I think the lesson is that incentives are really very useful, but they have to come with a lot of other things.
Right. The kids need the skills. We need to give them
the support. The kids need things that middle class, college educated parents take for granted. When my kids or my granddaughter, who's now six, she probably hears more things about college already than a lot of students who don't come from families that are that much oriented toward college education. And there's all kinds of social networks, you know, where do you go for a test? You got a college counselor. Which schools do this? Which schools do that? That's an important element, and by the way, a very important factor in increasing inequality between groups because of that.
And the price tag is just, oh my goodness. I mean,
well, yeah, but that's that other thing that I talk about. One of the issues on price tags is that people will say, you know, these private colleges where the prices says it costs you $70,000 to go. Think of it as a car. That's the sticker price. Everybody doesn't pay that, and in fact, most people don't pay it. So Wellesley College developed a website called myintuition.com that about now 40 private schools, including a lot of the elite schools, subscribe to. You can answer 6 easy questions about family income, about whether you own a house. It takes about 5 minutes. And you can click on a school there, and the school will tell you how much you're going to have to pay out of pocket. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, Yale, I did 2 schools. We'll talk about Yale for a second, since that's on everybody's mind right now because of the Kavanaugh hearings. Yale estimates the cost there $71,000 a year. We say, whoa, you know. If you have the median family income here, you got 2 kids and you're the only one in college, it turns out that Yale says you'll only have to pay about $5,000 out of your pocket. And the student will have to work about $3,000 worth of work study. So that makes it seem more eligible. The other school, it was more like $12,000. It makes it seem like it's
doable.
It's doable. And see, the attempt is to get people who don't think about private colleges. We're not talking about Punahou kids who get advice, you know, out their ears about what are the good private colleges and what they cost. And you got people maybe who can afford a little more money. This is geared to people who maybe wouldn't think about those things. It's a important but small part of the difficulties of lower income students getting their expectations high enough, and in fact their, turns out, self-esteem high enough to apply to these schools and then to do well.
Okay, so if you've got folks out there who are listening, what's that website again?
Myintuition.org.
Okay.
It's fun to play with it, well, especially in my case, because I don't have kids that are college age anymore. So it's a fairyland. But it's an interesting, it's a really useful, easy tool to use.
Okay, all right. So hopefully people take advantage of that. Wasn't around when you and I were dealing with all this.
No, it was not.
All right, thanks so much.
Sure.
Neil Milner is a retired professor of political science and our contributing editor of our segment, The Long View. You can find out more on The Conversation's Facebook page.